I'm Julia Hoggett, the CEO of the London Stock Exchange, and I'm here in Oak North's offices with the CEO, Rishi, to talk about the journey that Oak North has been on over the last several years and where it's going next. Rishi, firstly, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start with the journey of how we got here.
Yep.
So this isn't your first rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
You started building a data and analytics company. And one of the things that interests me about all of the journeys I've seen of entrepreneurs is they've identified an issue that needs fixing. In this case, it was access to data and analytics products.
Yep.
For investment banks and other intense users of those services,
right,
being provided not just in the UK, but all around the world. Mm-hmm. That then led you to have challenges in how you thought about growing your business that directly contributed to what you're doing now. I'd love to get a sense of that journey because it's fascinating.
Sure. So the first one, which was the data analytics business, Copal, we set up when we were 26 and mid-20s, right? I'd started my career in investment banking. My business partner started his in consulting. Mm-hmm. And you sort of go through like these analyst programs.
Through one myself.
There we go. Joyful days, right? And we said to ourselves, we've done this for a while, but you know what? There's a better way to look at this, right? You can systemize this. You can productize this. You can actually drive so much more efficiency, number one, but also accuracy,
yep,
in terms of like how all the analysis is done. And that's what spurred us to start our first business, Copal. That experience was very much driven by us having done the job on the other side and, yep, saying there's a better way to do this, a better way to think about this.
Yep.
And then with Oak North, in a similar way, when we were building that business, we raised very little capital to build the business. And we had very little capital, right? So let's say, like, basically nothing. We were at a point where we were growing like a weed. And we had very little working capital in the bank at any point in time, right? So we were down to like 3-4 weeks of working capital. So if a client's not paying on the day,
really matters.
You're like, how do you make payroll, right? So we said to ourselves, it'd be a luxury if we can get a small line of credit, i.e. an overdraft, mm-hmm, from a commercial bank, right? To sort of like just in case, like, yep, keep us going. So we spent a few months with a couple of banks over here had a very undelightful experience.
I was wondering what word you meant.
There we go. A few months after that, went to one of our clients, one of our investment banking clients, into their sort of institutional special situations desk.
Yeah.
And they structured a loan for us, which was 100 times the amount of lending, to dividend out to shareholders, right? So we couldn't get...
get working capital.
We couldn't get 100 of the amount as working capital, but we get 100 times to take out as a dividend. And we said to ourselves, wow, something's like askew here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what we clearly identified is the way commercial banks look at businesses, analyze businesses, and therefore, yeah, lend to businesses is so different to the way that larger corporate institutional players do. And the number of other entrepreneurs that almost dismiss commercial banks as even like a thing, yeah, to help them grow their businesses in terms of access to capital. And we said to ourselves, you know what? There's something here. There's something here where we can actually help businesses grow in a way which at the moment they're constrained to do.
And that brings us to Oak North and why we're here today.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the proposition that Oak North was founded to create. And it's sort of two limbs, isn't it? It's the capability to understand the story,
mm-hmm,
which is one part of your business, and then the capability to thereafter lend to the story.
Right, exactly. I like the way you...
So how you frame it, how you talk,
sure,
about the construction of both,
yep,
and then how both interact together.
Yeah. So again, it is very much interlinked with our story from the previous business. So we were looking at credit from so many different aspects. And when you put that all together, that just gave us a view on a framework and toolkit which could then you could take from the larger institutional market, mm-hmm, and apply down to smaller commercial companies. And our view was, if we could do that, then we both understand the businesses,
yep,
and we'd understand actually how much debt capacity they have within them. And therefore, we should have the confidence to lend on that basis, right?
Can I ask a question on that?
Please.
So there's the model piece, mm-hmm, understanding the business models, understanding the stories, understanding, thinking about the credit. There's also the data piece,
yep,
which is actually understanding the individual dynamics of individual companies.
Yep. Now,
what you're articulating, I think, gives you the model and the high level,
yep,
piece. How do you then get to the data at the individual lending by lending.
Yep.
Component.
So you're absolutely right. So number one is the model and the framework,
yep.
Right? And then you have to fill the container with something, right? And some of that is the company's own data,
mm-hmm.
and some of that is other data of comparable companies, the industry, the sector, etc. Right? So the latter place is where, you know, great companies like yourselves, right, your group as well, LLSA group,
provider sort of first, look at that,
exactly, yep. Come into play, right? So, i.e., data providers. And what is interesting is when you look at sort of the investment banking world are massive consumers of third-party data. Yeah. You look at commercial banks are very, very small.
Yeah.
But the fact that they don't take the data in shows they're not actually using a lot of data,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
to make their decisions. Yeah. So for us, it was, okay, let's use the same sort of institutional model, take massive consumers of external data, and not just market data, but obviously industry data,
mm-hmm.
regulatory data, whatever data you yep. can find. Like, you know, you sort of, you know, you end up in this position where you're bringing hundreds and hundreds of data sources in, yeah. right? And you do that to jigsaw together a picture which is richer than you otherwise can get,
yep.
right? So that's what we do in terms of external data. And then the company data, we literally, I mean, yes, we will go to external sources which have data on a company, but like, you know, for smaller private companies,
there isn't a great deal of
so that we have to get from the companies. Yep. But again, we make it less painful in terms of we're not giving the companies like these massive templates to fill out.
And one of the things that I think you've done is focus on particular sectors and segments,
yep.
in a way maybe more unusual compared to a different yep. commercial bank. And I'm presuming that's also coming from the model piece, which
yes.
the more that model gives you the confidence around a particular sector, the more you've got confidence in the lending approach you take in that sector.
So our approach was to say, okay, you've got an economy. Normally, most institutions will split an economy into 10, 12, 18, 20 individual industries,
yep.
okay? And when you look at each of those, like at that level of aggregation, there's a lot captured, a lot of very varied businesses captured.
Yeah.
So we started with, okay, if we flip this on its head and say, okay, at the most granular level, how many industries would you split the economy into to get a more homogenous,
within
each of those cohorts. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that number was X. Let's just put that. And then you sort of say, okay, then where can I actually get data yeah. in that granularity?
Yeah.
And that's Y. Okay.
Yeah.
You put that X and Y together and our answer was 274. Right. Right? Obviously. So we split the economy into 274 industries.
Right.
Right. And for each of those industries, then we maintain a statistical model, which is your ML model, which looks at historic correlations, etc. And then we have a fundamental model, which is identifying, okay, what is happening at that industry level, at 274 industry level, which actually could cause this industry to not follow historical correlations. And we see how many breaking correlations there have been,
yep.
especially in the last 4 or 5 years, right? So we marry those two together. And then through that, we've got the ability to effectively fire out forward cash flow models on a new company on the fly.
Right.
Right. And then we have different macro scenarios. And those macro scenarios, again, will then disaggregate down to those 274 industry level. And therefore, you have your scenarios also on the fly. Right.
And then you can actually look at how you would do portfolio construction as well, because you can understand the cyclicality within it.
There yeah. you go.
Okay.
There yes, you go.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then you say to yourself, you've got something cool here. Let's go and give it to some other banks because, you know, it probably has some value to them. And so that was the second step of what we did in Oak North.
So what you have in Oak North is a software company that's doing all of that analytics that builds and drives the portfolio
yep.
that you're prepared to provide as a bank. But also you've got the banking service that you do directly, and you sold that software to other
yep.
providers.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the business of the bank itself.
Yep.
You had a full banking license since 2015.
Yep.
That's right.
September 2015.
And where have you been so far? I'd love to get a sense actually of the impact piece. How do you measure that impact in terms of the number of companies that you've lent to, the
yep.
number of employees, that the product
yep.
or services that's enabled them to do?
So So one thing that Joel, my co-founder, and myself were very clear about when we sold Copal and we're thinking about our next business is that we wanted a business which is going to have real impact,
yeah,
right? And let's be clear, we wanted to build a business, right? But one which actually does good, yeah, right? When you look at growth companies, scale-up companies, yeah, they generally, in most communities, are the key drivers of employment and GDP growth for those communities,
yeah,
okay? So you look at the productivity which they drive, it's outsized in comparison with the productivity in either a micro business or in a large company, right?
And in the incremental income that it generates in that area.
Exactly. So our view was supporting these growth companies is actually really good for communities, right? And that's always been an underpinning for us and a driver for us. So if we look at over the last 8.5 years now, we have lent over £10 billion in the UK. We've helped create about 40,000 new jobs through that lending. Now, obviously, there's a massive multiplier effect. So playing into both of those aspects, I think, at least for us, feels like we're on mission.
Can I just ask, going back to the software bit, so you're now providing that software and that analytics to other banks.
Yep.
Do you think it's changing their behavior and their appetite for the very same sector that you're seeking to have an impact on as well? So do you think there's actually an even bigger multiplier effect?
Yeah.
Which means the growth of what you can do at Oak North is a really important driver of that. So what's your plans for the future from here?
So look, we've obviously spent the last 8.5 years sort of bedding down and in a way proving that we've got the earning our stripes, yep, in terms of like, yes.
Proving it out.
We can analyze the model, like you said, and we can actually lend to those businesses and we can actually drive good outcomes for those businesses,
yep,
right? And again, have the impact that, you know, we could have only dreamt of when we started the business. So when we look at what our customers are asking us for, mm-hmm, many customers have sort of said to us over the last years, which, like, you lend to us in such a different way and we have such a different relationship with you than we have with our normal bank.
Yeah.
Why can't you do more off?
Of all of it.
Off all of it.
Right.
So we're working on doing more of all of it.
So there's big plans ahead.
There we go.
But it proves that fundament of identify the problem, work on the model,
yep,
prove out the model, apply the model.
You know, there we go.
That, in essence,
that is what you're doing. Rinse and repeat.
Now, my last question,
yep,
is more about you, actually.
Okay.
So you mentioned hunger, mm-hmm, earlier, actually, and that sense of that hunger and that drive that,
yep,
entrepreneurs have. How do you keep that hunger and that iteration, that evolution going? Because I don't sense any lesser drive in you now than there will have been when you started your first business.
At all. So, but going to your point about hunger, look, the most entrepreneurs have something askew with them. So the start there, right? So I've got quite a bit askew with me. But when you're used to being the underdog and you're used to sort of being the person who's sort of, you know, you're always the person in the trenches,
yeah,
right? That just creates something in you where it's energizing, right?
Yep.
It drives you.
Yeah.
And I still view ourselves today as the underdogs, right? We very much are. I mean, look at the size of Oak North with any sort of larger financial institution. Like,
yeah,
we're like, you know, we hardly register, right? So we're fully the underdog, right? And that whole sense, and the businesses we're supporting, they're all the underdogs,
yeah,
right? Because,
yeah,
they're going and they're trying to, like, yeah, change and, yeah, and do something innovative and et cetera and disruptive. So when you've got that mindset, it's sort of like the... Yeah, you're always on this, like, fight, yeah, right? You're, yeah, always on this thing to sort of, you know,
yeah,
get to that next level. So
I suspect even if you were the size of HSBC, you'd still be fighting there.
Of course.
I think that sense of a purposive lens is critical to businesses, and Oak North exemplifies it. So it's been a real pleasure speaking. Thank you very much.
Thank you.